The saints are ready to gather in prayer. Praise God. Because it reminds us that no matter what we're going through, no matter how out of control things may seem, nothing is out of God's control, and nothing is bigger than Him. Nothing's bigger than God the Father. There's nothing that He cannot handle. He loves us. In fact, the Bible says, "Beloved, I will above all things that things be well with you and that you prosper, even as your soul prospers." This is Mary Neal. I want to welcome you to the Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting. You know, we love justice, and we get that from our Father God. The Bible says that God loves, and so do we. And we strive for justice. We would like for the world to be more just. We would love to live in a sphere where people love one another as they love themselves. But we know that these are the last days. And that being the case, people are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. However, we do not despair because we know that as we are living in the last days, God's love does that much more abound. God actually loves us. God, Creator, wealthy beyond anyone's imagination. He loves us, and we have an open door to communicate with our Father God. I want you to know that tonight we are especially blessed because we have Reverend Floyd Harris, that's Reverend Dr. Floyd Harris Jr. from New Light, a New Light Church of God from Fresno, California, to speak to us tonight about the love of God, about trusting Him even when things look out of hand. As I said, nothing is ever out of God's control. Nobody is able to snatch you out of His hands. He offers us together under His wings like chicks. He said that He would be a husband to the husbandless and a father to the fatherless. And I am so glad that we serve such an awesome God and that He sent us men like Reverend Floyd Harris Jr. to lead us into all understanding, to explain to us what the will of God is for Christians' lives. I know that it is God's will that we care about prisoners' bodies as though they're our own and care about their suffering as though it's ourselves who are in bounds and suffering. I know that it is God's will that we obey Him and love Him above all else, and that we love one another as He loved us, as Jesus loved us. So, without any further ado, I will bring you our speaker for this evening, the owner of National Network in Action Channel, and we give him all the honor and praise. This is Reverend Floyd Harris Jr. out of Fresno, California. Hello, Reverend Harris. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Sister Neil. How are you? Can you hear me?
I hear you well, sir. And I have a prayer request before you begin. This is for Bernard Johnson, a young man who's mentally ill and who was warehoused in solitary confinement in Washington County Detention Center in Tennessee. We're asking God to bless him with his freedom this week. Ask God to bless him with his bail money and with his freedom.
Yes.
Please put it on the heart of the officials that a mentally ill young man like him does not belong in jail. His family needs him to be released so he can go to Vanderbilt University Hospital in treatment. So I thank you for that,
yes.
And I turn it over to you, sir.
Well, I just like to say, giving honor to God today, who is the head of my life, and honoring you as the radio host of your show. And also just honoring all of the folks who have called in. There should be folks on the board from Fresno, California, and different parts of California. I'd just like to thank them for listening in tonight. We are at a time right now where the world is just turning into a monster. We're living in a time right now where folk feel hopeless. We're living in a time right now where those who may have a job or may have a home, maybe 1 foot away from being homeless. And you know, we're in this together. We it's just so much heavy lifting that's going on right now across the country. And that's why it's very important that we stay connected to the Creator. It's very important that we stay grounded. That's why the song says, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. You would think that a tree that is planted in water, that water should be able to push away the top of that tree. And the reason that the water cannot push away that tree is because the roots of that grounded in that soil. And so, you know, it's parables and illustrations like that we have to continue to look at, continue to hold on to, continue to have hope for. And that's why, again, this radio broadcast is so good to start the week with. As we are reactivating our radio show for our church, we are going to be appointing different folks to run our show. And hopefully we can be able to get our show to come on at 8 o'clock, and then we can roll right into your show, Sister Neil, for support. You know, today, I had to bring the Sunday morning message to the people, to God's people. And today, the Lord had instructed me to talk about the tongue that's in our mouth. I believe that the tongue can do good things, and I believe that the tongue in our mouth can do bad things. And I think that if we are not grounded and rooted in the Lord, I believe that Satan, the devil, can be able to use our lips and our tongue for his destruction. I believe in the word it says that God is not the author of confusion. I believe that God is the author of righteousness. He's the author of hope. He's the author of giving. He's the author of trying to empower people. And so it's very critical, as I spoke to the people today, in regards to making sure that we are not being used as tools for the enemy. I believe that the enemy is out to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy. When we look at, as you spoke earlier, Sister Neil, in reference to our mentally ill, just because you have a mentally ill person or a person with a sickness, that's not against the law. It's not against the law to have a sickness. But what is against the law is for the country to treat you as if you're an unworthy person or an unworthy, non-valued human being. To take someone who has a mental condition and to just beat them and destroy them and to throw them in prison and to not be able to give them the resources that they need. These are the things that we're facing within the Christian church today. And that's why, you know, in the scripture it talked about the shepherd. I believe that the shepherd has a role to play in this society. And being a good shepherd, that's why the Bible says good shepherd. I believe that a good shepherd, it says, has to lay his life down for his sheep. The good shepherd has to lay his life down for the sheep. So what does that mean? Lay your life down. I believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. I believe that, that laying your life down means that you have to may have to be able to go out and to advocate for someone. Laying your life down means that you may have to go out and within reasons to deal with a police department or law enforcement and not worry about your life being taken. Okay? I think that we spend more time worrying about will our life be taken if I was to go and intervene in a situation. Well, that's what God has called us to do, is to be interveners. God has called us to go out and to seek the poor and to go out and deal with the political people who has God's people oppressed. And so I think that the shepherd, we all have a role to play. But we then have to understand, Sister Neil, that there's a cost when it comes with that. And it takes us back. Are we willing to sacrifice that cost? And the cost could be your life to take away, to be taken away. The cost could be that you may lose your home, or you may lose that nice, fine car you drive, or what have you. But I think that we're in a time right now where the tire meets the road. I'm the type of minister that I want to know what side of the street you're standing on. I'm not one of those ministers who wave back and forth. I'm not one of those ministers who run hot today and cold tomorrow. I don't believe that God can be able to use people into that capacity, because you never know which day you're going to be hot and cold. I think that right now, when we look at the country right now, we see so many homeless people just here in the city of Fresno. Just here in the city of Fresno, that this city here has the highest concentration of poverty next to Katrina in New Orleans. How can this city have the highest concentration of poverty? I mean, little bitty Fresno, you mean to tell me that we can beat Oakland and San Francisco and L.A. with Skid Row and all these big major cities, Chicago, but Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty? Now, the question becomes to me as a minister is, how do we address the poverty that's in our community? So that would take me back to that someone has to be responsible for making the decisions for something to be in poverty or a city to not be in poverty. And so for this city to have two reports, I've changed the name of Fresno to Mississippi Fresno, because a lot of the things that happened way back in the 50s and the 60s are now happening here in the city of Fresno. And I know that that doesn't make our politicians and our middle class, uppity class of folk in Fresno feel good when I call Fresno, Mississippi. But if the shoe fit, wear. I'm tired of seeing God's people suffer. I'm tired of seeing political people in office using God's people as political guinea pigs. And I will not sit there idly and not say anything. God has called me to speak truth to power, call men like Reverend Pinckney to speak truth to power. And because we speak truth to power, then they want to come out and arrest us and throw us in prison, as they've done my brother, Reverend Pinckney, in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I've sat there and marched with that brother. That brother's come to my church all the way from the state of Michigan to tell us what was going on in the city of Benton Harbor. Our people, God's people, are suffering all over the world, and especially United Snakes of America. I'm not going to call it United States. I'm going to call it United Snakes of America, because this place has nothing but rattleback, diamondback, boa constrictor snakes running all through the government halls of the city halls, the county, the police department. They're nothing but snakes. They mean us no good. And this is why that is important, that we as clergymen and we as clergywomen and activists and all of us come together as one and understand that God did not want us to be living in these conditions that we're living in. And if God do not want us to live in these conditions, then that means that we have to get off our rear end. We have to get off our butt. We have to quit making excuses. We have to stand up and speak truth to power. We have to start educating and organizing our babies and letting them understand that what the policies and and procedures and legislations is being put in place is to destroy you and your future. Because, see, the state of California has rolled the dice. They didn't roll the dice to build more prisons, to build more universities and schools. They rolled the dice to build more prisons, to build more prisons here in the state of California. But then when you ask the question, how many of us are out here on the front lines? I'm about the only Christian minister. I'm not going to say that there's not any out there, because there are some out there. I say it on the front line in the trenches. That's the difference, to be in the trenches on the front line versus just being out there. See, my life is on the line daily, 24 hours a day, 365 days out the year, 7 days a week, and second an hour by, because I stand up for God's people. See, God has given me the power and authority to speak truth to power without being scared, because you can't fight the system being scared. And that's what our people have to understand, is that to fight this system and to empower our people, you can't be a scaredy cat, because you will get gobbled up and spit out. I mean, it's just case in point. I mean, I just had the U.S. Marshals come to my church this past week, and they were looking for someone, and I know they were doing their job, but it was how they conducted themselves when they came in my presence. See, all of us have to be treated with dignity and respect. But just because I'm a black man and I'm 6'3" and people say that I have big arms and big chests and what have you, doesn't mean that law enforcement has the right to profile me and talk to me any type of tone and any type of way that they want to do. And so these U.S. Marshals just refused to identify themselves. And then I asked them for identification, and they refused to give me a business card. But see, what the U.S. Marshals didn't understand, I don't believe, is that they came to my church looking for someone that I don't even know. And so when you come on my grounds, and those grounds are sacred ground, those grounds at my church is holy ground, coming into my domain. And when God has, in the radio land, when God has given you the authority, listen to that word I just said. When God has given you the authority, so let's break down authority. Authority means giving you something that you can work with. When God has given you power, you ought to repeat that, radio people. When God has given you the power and the authority to speak truth to power, He has given you the green light to stand on righteousness. Maybe some of y'all missed that. He gives you the power and the authority to stand on righteousness, to speak truth to power. And if He's giving you the authority and the power to speak truth to power, then it has to be that God has given you the courage to stand up. So when we see police brutality going on all across the country, we just cannot sit idly and say nothing. We have to stand up boldly. We have to stand up as a people and say, that was wrong. You cannot do that to God's people and that we're going to sit here and not say anything. See, so I listened to so many people who talked about the Ferguson and talked about Baltimore and talked about how, well, you know, you little people shouldn't be burning down your neighborhood, and you little people shouldn't be little black and brown people. You're burning down the CVS store, and you know, and there's people working there, and you're just destroying your community. But I asked the question, if the people would have came and told you that they were being oppressed, beat up, killed, murdered, lynched by these police departments in Louisiana, Baltimore, and all of the other cities, would you have listened? Would you have listened to the people? Or would you just say, oh, no, you I'm pretty sure you did something wrong, because no police is not going to abuse you and misuse you and handcuff you and shoot you. No, you had to do something wrong. But it was not until flames came, buildings burned, days and weeks, was not until black people got the attention of the government that they say enough is enough. So that means that if we want justice in America, then that means that we have to sacrifice something. That means someone has to sacrifice something in order to get justice in America. See, it wasn't long ago that our little white brother was in North Carolina, and he shot 9 of our people. And he sat there for 2 hours before he murdered our family. See, I don't really think that we really understand the content of what happened in North Carolina. Because, see, I really break it down. Because, see, our young white brother came in there. And, see, and this is why the Bible talks about wolves come in sheep clothing. See, this young man was a wolf. He had fangs. He had negative attention. But our brothers and sisters didn't see him like that. And he sat there for 2 hours, and he massacred, lynched our people in North Carolina. Well, let's hit the rewind button. We're suddenly running a cassette player here now. Let's hit the rewind button. Let's go back to 1960. In 1960, we have to understand the 4 little girls were bombed, I believe it was in Alabama or Birmingham. We have to understand that those 4 little innocent babies were bombed inside of a church. Who bombed the church? The Ku Klux Klan bombed the church. Why would someone kill innocent little babies? Because they understood and knew that our people was organizing inside the church. Because, see, you have to understand that Ku Klux Klan are really a bunch of cowards. And I say that with power and authority. They're a bunch of cowards, because when you have to put something over your face and do a hate crime like they did to our 4 little babies in I believe it was Alabama. But look at it now. They're not hiding their face anymore. That young man in North Carolina was not acting alone. He was taught by his elders. Because, see, that young man, well, now, in his mind, in his community, he's a hero. He didn't hide his face that time. He showed his face, different from the 1960s. So what is I'm saying to you? Where did the Ku Klux Klan go? They marched on Washington, hundreds and thousands of them in their capes and their suits and their robes. Where did all these capes and suits go? Where did all the masks go? Well, I'll tell you where they went. They took off the Klan suit, police uniform. They took off the Klan suit, and they started being judges and district attorneys all over the country. They took off the Klan suit, and now they're the warden in the prison. They took off the Klan suit, and now the teachers teaching your babies in the public education system. They took off the Klan suit and became highway patrolmen and state troopers and all of that. Where did the Klan go? And see, this is why a real true shepherd is so important, to keep you reminded of the oppression that God's people is continuing to deal with each and every day. I mean, so when you come to New Light, the New Light Church of God, and you go in our social hall, you will see that we will have pictures hanging of clans and our ancestors hanging, and just a wall of remembrance, so that you can understand that we cannot allow you to forget that. When I hear the story of Sister Neal and her brother, it's horrifying that her brother was murdered. Day, she still cannot get no answers. We are the people who put people in office. We are the people who can put you in office, and we will be the people to take you out of office. You're not going to fly around the country and fly around here and there and going to retreats and conferences, not on our dime as taxpayers, and you cannot pass legislations to hold these rogue cops accountable, but you want to hold our babies accountable, but you can't hold cops accountable. I got into it today with a man because he kept telling me about Donald Trump and all the stuff about he believe in gun rights and stuff like that. I just asked the brother one question. I said, brother, all due respect to you, was murdered by Oakland PD. And I said, Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seals and all of them understood, because they were college students, that they had the right to bear arms. See, Malcolm X said it best. He said, you know, the worst thing that the white man could have done was let me read his book. See, family, this is why it's so important for you to read. This is one reason that I like Sister Neal, because she's always reading and she's always posting. She's always writing blogs. She's doing it for the love for you. She's putting all this information out there because she don't want to see other families go through the pain that she has went through. That's why it's important that, well, thank you. It doesn't cost anything to say thank you, Sister Neal, for all you do and all the labor that you put in and day out. You stay up all night researching. You stay up all day typing for us so that we can be able to deal with a corrupt system that hates our guts. And so, family, when I went back to the conversation of, let's use our tongue in more of a constructive way to build power, to build influence, to build encouragement, to build hope, to build an understanding. Let's not use our tongue to destroy one another. Let's not use our tongue in our hearts to belittle anyone, because that's not what God has called us here to do. As I told my congregation today in the full house today, I told them, I said, listen, I said, it's your responsibility to find out what is your purpose in life. It's your responsibility, Radio Land. It's your responsibility to figure out what am I called to do. You might not can do what I do. You might not can do what Miss Neal do. You might not can do what Dr. Kennedy can do. But I promise you one thing. There is something that you can do, and you need to connect with the Creator and find out what that is. Because we need more soldiers. More soldiers out here in the trenches. Stop taking second seat to people who is not going to bust a grape. Stop taking second seat to them. If you feel that you want to say something, you say it. If you feel you want to do something, you do it. Because if it's on your heart and it's right and it's for the betterment of our people, I promise you God will bless you and honor you. But we got to stop this sitting back, being lazy in a recliner, having a Coke and a smile. Hell, what is that a smile about? Our people are dying all over the country. What is that a smile about? We have political prisoners all over the country. What is that to smile about? You feel because you live in a gated community that you're safe? Really? Do you really think that? No, none of us are safe. None of us are safe anymore. We are in danger. This enemy is out to kill us. That's why they brought us over here on the boats, to destroy us and to make money off of us. And what makes it so bad today, Radio Land, is that we have adopted that philosophy, and now we're destroying one another. Enemy sits back and laughs. That's why in the scripture in Hosea 4:6 it says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say Sister Neil. He didn't say Reverend Harris. He said my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And that's why it's important that you position yourself around strong men and women who is ready to fight a good fight. Because we can no longer use scary, fake people anymore. God has given us all the power. He has given us all the tools that we need. He has given you the tools that you need. You just have to recognize within your heart that God is going to give me everything I need to keep fighting this fight. Our children, our babies are relying on us each and every day. Right now as we speak, we have to be making opportunity for them. That's why the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. He says, knock and the door shall be opened. Well, if you don't ask, you can't expect to receive nothing. And if you don't knock, you can't expect the door to be opened, family. We need some bold Christians now. It's over with this milk toast sermons and milk marshmallow conversations. We got to have real talk and dialogue now. And that's why I tell my people, you got to be willing to die for what you believe in. If you're not willing to die for what you believe in, then you know what? You're not really ready to fight this fight. Because the enemy is going to punk you with, I will kill you. But once you determine that death is not even a conversation and that you're going to keep moving on, the enemy will back off and say, that person there has anointing of God on them, and there's nothing I can say that can scare them. That's why when the U.S. Marshals came to my church, these guys had big guns. They had tasers. They had my church surrounded. And I was talking through them through the voice of God. Because when I look back on it now, they could have easily shot me and killed me and said, you know what, we felt threatened for our life. And they would have got away with it. But see, it was the grace of God who had his angels and mercy around me as a shield. So, Radio Land, I just wanted to keep you encouraged tonight. I'm going to go ahead and hand it back, Sister Neil. I just wanted to encourage you to use your tongue in the right way. Use your lips in the right way. Look at your heart.
Look at your heart
and understand.
And understand.
But that's God's heart.
That's God's heart.
Because what's in the heart?
Because what's in the heart
will come through the mouth.
Will come through the mouth.
So don't run around talking about you a Christian when your heart is not right. Sister Neil, I want to thank you for the time, and I'm going to relinquish this time back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Reverend Harris. I certainly feel so encouraged and empowered listening to you speak and knowing that you're not a speaker only of the word, but you're a doer of the word. And that's what God challenges us to be. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I thank God for protecting you when the federal marshals came around. And I thank him for empowering you to yet stand and be encouraged in the faith. And we have faith in God, and that is all we need. And I just want you to please know that we're praying for you. And we are so glad that God protected you in that circumstance. We want the whole world to know that Reverend Floyd Harris is a man of integrity, and that he cannot be one who backs down under oppression. And I thank God for that. And we are all called to be the same way. And we will learn that as we study with great men like Reverend Harris. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is Sunday night, September 13th, 2015. This is the Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting. I believe we'll be honored to hear from Reverend Harris often in the future. I'm so glad about that. And we're also going to tune in to his show that he's going to start producing just 1 hour before this one. So that's going to be a real treat. God is blessing. As we started out this show with the song, somebody